Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. What an amazing way to start Christmas and the Advent season. He takes our sins away. Praise the Lord. My name is Jeff Pfeiffer, and I'm privileged to be here. I'm the pastor of Care Ministries. And if you're new to WCC, or maybe you visited in the past and you're kind of coming back around, if you could stop out here at the Info Center, we have a little gift for you. And maybe while you're there, you could fill out the connection card. You can also do that online and on the WCC app. You know, you folks are a very generous and awesome people. Matter of fact, turn to the person next to you and say, you are awesome. You are awesome. Amen. Amen. And in your awesomeness, you're very generous. And over the years, I think about tithes and offerings and how you've been such a blessing to the church and to the community. Well, during the month of December, I'm privileged to share, we're going to have our annual care fund, and which is an amazing way to add to that. That's above and beyond our regular offering. So just like our regular offering, we have boxes in the back and to the side. You can also give online and on the WCC app. And we have envelopes at the care, at the info center, so they all need to be designated, whether it's your regular offering or your care fund offering. So thank you for doing that. We have through the month of December. And you know, wouldn't it be great if all of us here that think of WCC as our home church, that we would make it a matter of prayer of how much we give to the care fund. That would be awesome. Amen. Well, let's pause for a few moments. We're going to look at a video to share more about the care fund.
Andrea Payton, and I'm the controller at WCC. The purpose of the WCC Care Fund is to help the church body show generosity in our community around the world and to provide direct care to people in our church, in Warsaw, and other parts of the world. The Care Fund has been around since 2006, and since that time, we have received over $4 million. Regular giving and tithing, you are primarily giving to the operating fund of the church, whereas the care fund is beyond that. It's a way to help others in our community directly. This year we have two buckets. The first bucket is crisis and hardship. The second bucket is missions and disaster relief. The first bucket includes monies that are allocated to the WCC ministry so that when we go out into the community to share the hope of the gospel and we find needs, there's money that we can tap into to address those needs specifically. For missions and disaster relief, those monies are allocated to our mission partners globally. Again, we have money in our budget to help them with their day-to-day needs, but sometimes they have needs that go above and beyond that because of emergencies and other things. So we have money available to give them when that happens. And for disaster relief, we set aside money so when there's disasters in our community or around the world, we have money to provide relief for those that are part of those disasters. I see the difference on a daily basis, almost a daily basis. I see it by the way our church body goes out and forms Christ-centered relationships and helps others through those relationships. I see it through our partners. I see how Fellowship Mission, The Nest, Los Sparrows is in our community helping people on a daily basis. And I have to say the growth that I've seen in the last couple of years has just been amazing. I've seen God working in this church in amazing ways through the church body, through our partners. And it's just exciting. And what I would say to anybody who asks is to join us. Join us on this journey that we're taking as God is the leader, leading us into relationship with others in our church, in our community, in our world. I can't stress how much joy and satisfaction that's brought me.
So encouraging. You know, as Andrew was sharing, she talked about our partners, and one of our partners is Ben Logan. And so I wanted to introduce Ben to you. Ben and Abby Logan attend here at Warsaw Community Church. Yeah, let's give them a hand clap. Amen. Amen.
I don't know if I deserve that this early in the morning.
But, you know, I think about Ben, things we've talked about in the past, and And actually, they've got a, how old is Daniel now, your new baby?
He will be 3 months on Friday.
Okay, so when do you sleep?
Not much nowadays.
Okay.
I was up four times last night, but I did make it. I did make it to the early service.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you know what's interesting and such a blessing for us as a church to partner with Ben and Habitat for Humanity, he's the executive director of Habitat for Humanity, is in the past when Mickey Coffin was the director, it worked out really well. But Ben and Abby being a part of the church and being part of the fabric of the church, being in a growth group, and Abby volunteers upstairs and has in the past in worship arts, and we're on a committee together also. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing from one county to another with Habitat for Humanity, they run them a little different. But this Habitat for Humanity, where Ben is the director and our partner, is decidedly Christian. Decidedly Christian. And so through your generosity, we've been able to give some care fund monies to your projects and your building projects. And just share, how has the Lord been able to use our church and that money to help you in your mission?
Jeff, it has really been amazing. And WCC has been so generous to Habitat in the past, but especially now. We have two homes going up right now in Claypool, both past the drywall stage. For single moms, that tends to be the demographic that we attract and that they need housing, and it has been amazing. And the best part about WCC, other than it being our home church and me feeling proud that our home church is getting behind it so much, but it's also great because it never stops at the check. There's financial support, and that is needed. We have to buy the building supplies our volunteers use to build these homes. But WCC always comes around with wraparound support in other ways, and it's amazing to see.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. You know, as we've changed our focus from being a comfortable church where people come in, we want to keep doing that, obviously, but also more of a sending church and being involved in Christ-centered relationships with our partners. And some of the pictures up there, actually, which your wife took, by the way, was of our Helping Hands ministries. And so how has that worked out, the relational aspect of our ministry volunteers coming into Habitat and sharing the hope of the gospel?
Yeah, and that is actually something I've really come to enjoy about Habitat's program, is that a lot of times we focus on the house and the building of the house, but we're with these families with a minimum of 2 years, and it goes way deeper than the house every single time. And we get to see along their journey different milestones for their family. They have baptisms, they have weddings, they have funerals, and it's great to be able to have those touch points. We even had one instance where one of our families had a funeral actually here at WCC, yeah. And not on that yeah. exact day, WCC had your Helping Hands group was actually on site building their house.
Awesome.
As WCC was also covering the funeral as well. So there's so many things that go past the house. Of course, we want to solve their housing need, but there's always that relational aspect, and that's where the real life change happens.
Awesome. Wasn't there someone from the river recently that just got involved?
Yeah, great story, and well, I guess one to come, but the river, a single mom's ministry WCC has here, we actually have Kimber is her name. She's a single mom, has four yeah. daughters, and just recently accepted into Habitat's program. She was attending the river when she found out about the application, and now she was encouraged to apply. She got approved, and now she's in our program, and when it comes time to build her house soon, then Helping Hands will be on site probably a handful of times, and the Care Fund will probably also support the building of that house as well. So very exciting things to come with Kimber, yeah.
Amen. Well, what a blessing. Well, we just want to thank you as far as like you and Abby, answering the call and just allowing us to partner together, not only financially, but also sharing the hope of the gospel. Because here's the thing, guys, with the Habitat builds. Yes, they are building homes for this life, but they're also pointing people toward their eternal homes in relationship with Jesus. So let's give Ben a thank you this morning. God bless you. Thank you.
Good morning. We'd like to start our Advent service today with a story from the imagination of Max Lucado. It's from his book entitled Jesus. For thousands of years, God gave us his voice. Prior to Bethlehem, he gave us his messengers, his teachers, his words. But in the manger, God gave us himself. Extraordinary, don't you think? I imagine even Gabriel scratched his head at the idea of God with us. Gabriel wasn't one to question God's God-given missions. Sending fires and dividing seas were all in an eternity's work for this angel. When God sent, Gabriel went. And when God got, when the word got out that God was to become a human, Gabriel was no doubt enthused. He could envision the moment, the Messiah in a blazing chariot, the king descending on a fiery cloud, an explosion of light from which the Messiah would emerge. That's surely what he expected. What he never expected was what he got. A slip of paper with a Nazarene address. God will become a baby, it read. Tell the mother to name the child Jesus and tell her not to be afraid. Gabriel was never one to question, but this time he had to wonder. God will become a baby? Gabriel had seen babies before. He had been platoon leader on the Bull Rush operation. He remembered what little Moses looked like. That's okay for humans, he thought to himself, but for God? The heavens can't contain him. How could a body? Besides, have you seen what comes out of those babies? Hardly befitting the creator of the universe. Babies must be carried and fed, bounced and bathed. Some mother burping God on her shoulder? Why, that was beyond what even an angel could imagine. And what of his name? Jesus? Such a common name. Why, there's a Jesus on every cul-de-sac. Come on, even the name Gabriel has more punch to it than Jesus. Call the baby Eminence or Majesty or Heaven Sent. Anything but Jesus. So Gabriel scratched his head. What happened to the good old days? Global floods, flaming swords. That's the action that Gabriel. But Gabriel had his orders. Take the message to Mary. Must be a special girl, he assumed as he traveled. Gabriel was in for another shock. One peek told him that Mary was no queen. The mother-to-be of God was not regal. She was a Jewish peasant who'd barely outgrown her acne and had a crush on a guy named Joe. And speaking of Joe, what does this fellow know? He's a carpenter. Look at him over there. Sawdust in his beard and a nail apron around his waist. You're telling me that God is going to have dinner every night with him? You're telling me that the source of wisdom is going to call this guy Dad? You're telling me that a common laborer is going to be charged with providing food to God? What if he gets laid off? What if he gets cranky? What if he decides to run off with a pretty girl from down the street? Then where will we be? It was all Gabriel could do to keep from turning back. This is a peculiar idea you have, God, he must have muttered to himself. But he followed through. He wasn't about to rebel against his boss, who happened to control the universe. He visited Mary and told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. and shall call his name Jesus. The story of Jesus begins with the story of a great descent. The Son of God became the child of Mary. He became one of us so that we might become one with him. He entered our world with the high hope that we will enter his.
For a miracle, the heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel. The child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Can you hear the angels singing glory to the light of the world? Glory, the light of the world. Now breaks with the tears of a mother. Baby's cry is the sound of love. Come down, Emmanuel. Oh,
here's a song for the suffering. Here's Messiah, the Prince of Peace has come. He has come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
You may have a seat. What a beautiful intro into our special Advent service. The world does long for a little bit of hope, and we as Christ followers have that hope through the Son of God, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. This time of year, we can get distracted by the busyness of what's going on around us, and so our hope for today is that this is a kickoff for you to stay focused on the true meaning of Christmas. As you leave today, one of the things we have for you to help this is a Christmas verse scripture cards. There are 25 scripture cards that we have ready for you that you and your family can do leading up to the 25 days of Christmas, one verse a day as you enter into the holiday season. Advent is dedicated to anticipating the arrival of the long-awaited Messiah. Advent refers to a four-week season of remembering and celebrating the good news of Jesus Christ. Because Advent is a shared experience, we as a body of believers are going to build our Advent wreath today. Each of you should have picked up an evergreen as you walked in. If you didn't, there will be time in the next few songs that you can get one. And what we're going to do is during the next few songs, if you would, when you feel led, come up to one of the two stations that we have set up for Advent, and you're going to place your evergreen inside the wreath. The evergreen branch represents the hope of everlasting life. And so as you enter and as you place your evergreen branch, we want you to remember two things. One, the unity that we have in the body of Christ coming together. And two, the life everlasting that we have through Jesus Christ. Would you please stand as we continue our time of worship?
Newborn King.
righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mount he lays his glory by, born that men no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Behold, the King has come, divinity incarnate, creator of the world, breathing our air. Behold, what light has come, the dark cannot contain it. Savior of the world is finally here. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. For he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord.
For he alone is worthy, Christ. In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophet, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus for our Savior died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the angels from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. This gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Lord, we just praise you today. God, I pray for every single person here, God, that they would feel your love and know that they are worthy of your forgiveness. We love you today. We honor you. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. What a joyous time. Help us, Lord, today as we hear the message, as we speak to one another, help us to encourage in love and join together as one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world, It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. The good news of God's grace changes our lives. His grace gives us light in the dark and difficult seasons we face. His grace can become a light to others as we reflect Christ with our lives and invite others to believe. The words from the song Hark the Herald Angels Sing sum up this invitation. Joyful, all ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. On this first Sunday of Advent, we light the first candle, which represents grace.
Good morning. Wasn't that amazing? Isn't it good to be together, to worship, to be reminded of what Christmas truly is about? We've started our Advent series, and we are going to be talking about grace this morning, that first candle that we lit. And as we do that, I was just thinking about this time of year. I love it. Don't you? You don't? It must be the weather that we love, or the fact that it gets dark at like 4:30. Like, it's 7 o'clock last night. My Hawkeyes were going to get beat up by Michigan later, and I was trying to stay awake. Like, it gets dark, I feel like I should go to bed. But anyway, right? This is a great time of year. And I remember as a kid, man, nothing better than Christmas. And we had this calendar shaped like a Christmas tree. It had buttons on it. And they were tied on with string, yarn. And every day, starting December 1st, we would take off a button. And I was like 14 and I could count by then, so I could count up how many days until Christmas. I also marked it too, what day we got out of school. So like, it was the trifecta. That's three things, two things. Best two things, Christmas. No school and presents, right? And we would count down that, and we'd get so excited. And it was great. And there was anticipation. There was joy. There was excitement. We knew it was coming. We could hardly wait for it to happen. Now, Christmas isn't really about any of those things. Advent isn't about that. In fact, we have this special service to kind of position ourselves in our heart towards what Christmas is really about. And the advantage that we have, that we can actually have the ability and understanding to make this Christmas about the Christ. But the anticipation that I had as a kid, the anticipation that I have now of our family being together and those positive things, watching football or Hallmark movies, I can tell you how they end. She saves the town and they get married. So I just saved you hundreds of hours between now and Christmas. Hallmark movies, we got good stuff going on. Families coming together. Presents, yes. But Christmas for some can also be negative. It can be a time of remembering a loss. It can be filled with disappointment. Christmas over, you ever feel disappointed? A couple years ago, we had our first Christmas that we weren't all together as a family. Daughter couldn't make it. Disappointing. And that's easy compared to a loved one who's no longer there. And so those negative things can be there as well, associated with Christmas. But our focus is on the Christ. It's on Him. And the anticipation we have isn't just looking back and looking at a child, a baby born in a manger. The fulfillment of the promises God had given for literally thousands of years, that He was going to send the Messiah, the Redeemer. And we celebrate at Christmas that God kept His promise, and God became a man. And He did that because of His grace and His love for us, so He could redeem us, so He could give us a right relationship back with Him. And we celebrate that amongst the busyness of our lives. But it also should cause us to look forward, because we have other promises. And this time He is coming as a king, not as a baby in a manger. And we should have that same anticipation, that same excitement, this awaiting the arrival to Christ for Him to come back. That's what we should be thinking about and focusing on at Christmas, this season of Advent. We actually need the 4 weeks to stop with the busyness. Is there a busier season for you? I don't have a busier season than this. So busy. Easy to miss. So we begin this, and we recognize that we can be so distracted. 4 weeks to prepare. Have you ever wondered when Jesus came why the world wasn't excited? I mean, we sing Joy to the World. Who was there in that stable? God had to send an angel to some shepherds and say, hey, go see Jesus. The Messiah is born. Shepherds. Several years later, these wise men from the east show up. Why wasn't the world ready? Let's forget about the world. Let's just say Israel, God's chosen people, the one that He had promised, the one that He had given prophecy after prophecy about the Messiah coming, even where He would be born, whose descendant He would be. Dozens of prophecies, they should have been awaiting, they should have been focused on Advent, anticipating His coming with excitement, with joy, and they missed it. Have you ever wondered why? It's not because of the television programs they wasted their time watching. It wasn't because they had smartphones. It wasn't because of anything else other than just our life. And our focus is so often on material things, the physical. They weren't waiting for the Messiah, the Redeemer, because they didn't think they had any spiritual needs. They thought they were good enough. The religious people kept the law. They followed the law. And surely God would look at their efforts, their work, their service, their generosity, and say, well done. Enter. Come into heaven because of all that you have done. Well, that is not the message of Christmas. You know what they wanted? This might sound familiar to you. They wanted Jesus, like Gabriel and what Mike read, coming as a king. Wanted Him to set the rulers straight, set the Roman Empire and throw out the Romans. They were worried about the government. They were worried about their taxes. They were worried about everything other than their own spiritual needs and the spiritual needs around them. These are spiritual leaders who cared more about the government and their lives and their taxes than they did the spiritual well-being of their nation. That's why they missed it. And I don't want us to be like them. I want us to be ready for when Christ returns. So how can we do that? I believe that the key is in grace. we lit the first candle. It's fitting that it's about grace. It's fitting because the foundation of our relationship with Christ is based on grace. If it wasn't for grace, he wouldn't have come, because none of us deserved a Savior. We've all gone astray. We all do our own things. We focus on ourselves. We don't focus on him. We don't live a life that's perfect and sinless. We can't. Even if we try, we fail. And that's why there has to be grace, this undeserved favor. Undeserved. You don't deserve it. And I hope and I pray and I feel like we're gaining some understanding of grace in our salvation, right? The salvation that we have is because of grace. I want to read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It says this: God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Grace is undeserved favor. So if you're working for it and you do something to get it, it's no longer grace. You can't add anything to grace. It's undeserved favor. This is reward. It's not a reward. If I work and you pay me, that's not grace. We struggle so much with understanding what grace is, but I'm telling you, grace is the lens that we're actually going to be able to see what Christmas is truly about. Grace is that lens that we can understand the way that then this Messiah, the baby Jesus, grew up, and then the life that he lived, this sinless life. Grace is the lens that if we look through, if we understand grace, we can look at the cross the way we should. If we understand grace, we can look out into eternity. We can see Christ where he is today, seated on the right hand of the Father, prepared to return. And I know that's hard. We don't have relational experiences as human beings that center on grace. Our relationships are so transactional. Who would you say is the most benevolent person or figure in our society today? I don't mean the church. Of course, Jesus. We know Jesus. But what about the world? Someone who doesn't know Jesus. Who would be the most benevolent person that they could think of? I'll give you a hint. It's Christmas, and sometimes he wears red. For the sake of not getting in trouble, I'm just going to say Saint Nick. Because if you start talking about Santa, you could say something horribly wrong, and this could be a train wreck. And I'd have angry parents writing, Denny, D. Wilson. Anyway, Warsaw.cc. Here's the thing. Even Santa, the most benevolent figure we have in our culture, he doesn't do grace. Does he? I mean, it's pretty amazing. He and his workers are up there making presents for me all winter long, all summer long, just hoping, and I don't know why they're not very good, because they've had a year to get ready for my present, right? But what is necessary for me to get that good gift that I never get? He knows when you've been good or bad. And apparently I'm bad. And then he has this list. He checks it twice, and both times I'm on the naughty. And by the way, so are you. Right? That's us as human beings. Grace isn't getting something because you're good. Grace is getting something when you're bad or when you are naughty. And that's who our Savior is. That's what he does. So this grace that we're talking about, it shouldn't just be a candle and we think about it. No, that's good. It actually should affect how we live. Colossians 1:6 says this. Speaking of the good news, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Understanding the truth about God's wonderful grace. Grace is that lens. We should be experiencing God's grace, not just in our salvation, but as we live out our lives. Experiencing not just the security of our sins being forgiven because of his grace, but the life that we live, the way that we live our life. Our desire to follow him is because he's producing that in us because of his grace. Charles Stanley said this, God's grace is an endless wealth, providing answers to all of life's problems, and how well we understand and accept it directly affects how fruitful our lives become. Our value is secure in heaven, regardless of the earthly situation that we find ourselves in, and any lack in our lives show we need to better understand God's grace. God's grace renews our souls, produces fruit in our life. And we can be grateful for that. But then I wanted to just challenge us as we go about this season. Not just thinking about how we've experienced grace in our salvation and how we have grace for our lives, but what about those around us? What about sharing the grace of God? In a world that doesn't know what grace is, the best they can do is Santa. And they got to be good to earn that, to get that. I wonder if this year we would give the people around us the gift of grace. Not because they deserve it any more than we did, but because we've received it. We've received his grace. We didn't deserve it. I wonder if we would share that with people who are just like us and they don't deserve it either. I wonder if we could show grace by being generous with someone who we, in our own minds, think doesn't deserve it. How about show grace and offer forgiveness to someone who's hurt us? Not because they deserve it, but because we understand grace and we have received grace, all that we needed, that we would give the gift of grace this season. We're going to end with another song. And I just pray that this service was just a start. We have the verse cards. You could do Advent as a family. You could be praying about who you can extend grace to. Maybe it's someone right in your family, and they're going to be here at Christmas. Maybe it's you asking for forgiveness for something you've done, that you need grace from them. That's my prayer, that we would give the gift of grace that we have so much of. Go ahead and stand as we worship.